You agree? Today's a good day to give our good God praise. Amen. Take a hymnal, church, stand and join us. Turn over to page number 393. Page 393. Let's everyone stand, everyone sing together. When we all get to heaven. Evening, and it's good to see some of our children's home is starting to weed back in after the holidays, and we're excited to have them back. So still have some that are traveling from being with family, so let's remember them in prayer. Also remember all the prayer requests that have been given today, but it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. And what a great message this morning, a great moving of the Spirit, and we're looking forward to the same tonight. I'll give Pastor the opportunity to introduce our guest speaker here in a few moments, but let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer, and I just ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Of course, He's no guest nor stranger to us, but we look forward to hearing from our brother here tonight. But let's lift him up in prayer, ask God's blessing on the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Kevin, would you take us, the Lord, tonight in a word of prayer?
Lord, amen.
Father God, I ask you for strength and I ask you for focus on you today, Father. I thank you for everything you've done in my life and everything.
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe? Why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need.
I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's gone through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And
He's been so faithful, He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why, 'cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do.
I've been through enough to know that He'll
going to be there for me. It's easy to get down when we're going through the hard stuff, but it's in those times when he teaches us things and he shows us things. And I'm thankful for the storms, because it's in the storms that I've learned, and that he's going to keep supplying the things I need. Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things he's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and he will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know, to know. You said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can't help but worship you. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know. You're my Savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord, we're gonna praise forevermore. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
mention some things right quick. Thank you for that singing, beautiful singing tonight. Did you enjoy the singing? Say amen. 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 I did want to repeat the announcement of the seniors' outing. Again, see Miss Sharon for that and coming soon for that outing. But also I wanted to just draw your attention to our Christmas decorations. Decorations look beautiful, don't they? And thank you, Brother Larry. First one to give the clap. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry, for that. Also, there's a wedding anniversary today, and that belongs to Brother Don and Sister Yvonne, and that's 48 years? 58. Those years are accounted for, aren't they, Brother? 58 years. 58 years. Those are 58 earned years, aren't they? And so we praise the Lord for marriages that last. And with Christ in the center, they will last. And then our preacher for tonight, Brother Jamie, of course, as you said, as it was said earlier, he's no stranger around here. But I just want to say this. I was listening to a sermon, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, on repeat from Cochran Ridge. And Brother Jamie preached on, I believe it might have been out of Joshua, on the Christian that is in the back of the pack. And that message touched my heart. Talking about giving some warnings of not being in the back of the pack, being up front. Some things that are detrimental by following from afar. And I told Christy that night, I said, we got to get Brother Jamie over here to preach. I said, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. And so I appreciate that. But Brother Jamie, you come on. We start at 5, and so that means we can end at 7. And regular church time ends at 7, but we go 5 to 6. But Brother, you spend all the time you need, Brother. And we're anxious to hear from the Lord from you, Brother.
I love you, my man. Thank you, Brother.
What a blessing it is to be Calvary Baptist Church. Got a lot of memories here. Good to see my good buddy, Brother Larry. I told Patty coming over here, I said, Brother Justin told people I was going to be here, it'd probably be empty. But boy, did it surprise me. What a good crowd, Brother Ceylon. Good to see you. When I think of Calvary Baptist Church, there's certain people that their faithfulness comes to mind. Brother Don and Sister Yvonne. Brother Ceylon. Miss Catherine. Host of others. But I think of their faithfulness. And that's what we want to strive to be. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Y'all forgive me. Thanksgiving Eve, I was out on the back end of a chainsaw, and I got into a yellow jacket nest, so that's why I'm swelled up here tonight. Y'all don't believe that, do you? But I really did get into a yellow jacket's nest, but I love your pastor and his wife. If you've never experienced anything, you need to go to a Braves game with Miss Christie, because she's a lunatic. She is absolutely a lunatic when it comes to the Braves. So if you got your Bibles tonight, I want to, I love how the Holy Spirit of God orchestrates. The music that Brother Allen chose tonight, and believe it or not, Brother Allen and I have not talked, and God sort of confirms what he's laid on your heart. Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk. I love the book of Habakkuk. Small book. They call it a minor prophet, but I don't believe it's a minor prophet at all. I believe that Habakkuk had it going on. Habakkuk was a prophet of God. Anybody that's a messenger of God, and I am not a pastor by any stretch of the imagination. I am a lay preacher. God gave me the gift of teaching and preaching. Actually, I preached one of my first messages here at Calvary Baptist Church years ago, right here. And I remember Brother Snyder, after I preached, he said, he looked at me, there was people saying, good job, great message. And Brother Snyder told me, he said, forget everything everybody's told you tonight. He said, you just keep your eyes on God. And I'll never forget that. And that's preceded, and I've tried to use that to precede everything that I try to do when I stand before people and preach. But Habakkuk, when he was... they say that Habakkuk, we know nothing about his personal life. We know absolutely nothing. The Bible just tells us that he was a prophet. Three small chapters put into the Old Testament. They say that Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah were probably contemporaries of each other. Don't know that for sure, but they lived between the reign of King Josiah and King Jehoiakim. As you all know, Josiah was a godly king, but every king after him was an evil, wicked king. But Habakkuk, when he was a lot like we are. He asked questions. How many of you have ever asked God questions? I know I have. If I took a show of hands tonight, everybody in this room's got problems. Everybody in this room has suffered heartache. Everybody in this room has made this comment one time or another. Why do they have what they have? Why do they do what they do? And it seems like they continue to get away with it. We've all had those questions. Habakkuk was the same way. If you look at Habakkuk chapter 1, I just want to draw your attention. This isn't where we're going to be at, but look at verse number 2. Look what Habakkuk says. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Habakkuk was upset because he said, God, your people are turning the nation of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel had already gone into captivity at this point, and Judah was on the verge of being captured by the Babylonians, by the Chaldeans. And here he's saying, why are your people, why are you not doing anything? Why are you letting your chosen people just stand back, commit sin after sin after sin, and you're not doing anything? He said this time and time again, and in chapter 2, God answers him and just tells him, says, Habakkuk, you think I'm just sitting on the 50-yard line? You think I'm not involved in the affairs of my people? Let me just tell you something. Tonight, God is involved in your affairs. If you're His child, He is fully involved in your affairs. He's not some big bearded guy sitting on a throne with a staff just watching over His kingdom, watching over His creation, and not involved in the plans of His people. Understand this, that we have free will, we have free choice. We have a choice to make. We either follow God or we don't follow God. There is no in between. The Bible is not full of gray areas. The Bible is black and white. The Bible tells us we either are for God or we're against God. Here's what the difference is in today. We have a world that we live in. When we were younger, sin was abounding. It was in abundance when you were young. There's no difference. You want me to tell you what the difference is? Hold up them cell phones. There's a difference in sin today. Years ago, when people sinned, it had to travel by donkey, by mule. Right. Now you can do something in Asia and know about it in Hawaii in seconds. That quick. The world hasn't changed. Man fell years and years ago. But just like I said a while ago, God's always had a plan. Some 2,000 plus years ago, He gave His only begotten Son to die on a tree for you and for me. He gave His Son. He knew that we would fall. And I'm doing my best to stay in this zone. I'm a wanderer. But I'm doing my best to stay in this zone. So, Brother Justin, you sort of just corral me if I try to get out of range, okay? But He gave His only begotten Son so that I would have a way of eternal life, to spend eternity with Him. And I'm going to just throw this out there for you for free. Your church is just like every other church, where people are falling away, decide not to come for whatever reason. Well, let me just tell you, if you can't go to church down here, what you going to do for all eternity? Because you're going to worship Him for all eternity. Amen. That was free. That's not part of the message. But Habakkuk, God tells him in chapter 2, He says, Habakkuk, He says, I am raising up a nation on the banks of the Euphrates River, and that nation is going to judge my people. And He said, in turn, I'm going to judge that nation as well, because I'm a righteous God. I'm a holy God. And I want to talk to you for the next few minutes. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Look at verse number 16. God has already told Habakkuk what he's going to do. He's told Habakkuk that he's going to judge his people. He's told Habakkuk that he's going to judge the Babylonian nation. And in chapter 2, he lays it all out to him. And I want you to look what he does in chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. After Habakkuk's heard all of this, here's what Habakkuk says. The things that he's heard from God scares him. Verse number 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. He says, my belly trembled. How many of you have ever got a phone call? How many of you have ever heard news, Brother Allen, and your belly trembled? You literally shook to your core. I can tell you, I've been there. Shook me down to my feet. Couldn't do anything about it, but my belly trembled. Habakkuk says, when I heard what God had to say, my belly trembled. Look what else he says. And listen, you could go, and I encourage you when your pastor preaches. What I want to do tonight is be an encouragement to you. If I can't be an encouragement to me, I want to be an encouragement to your pastor. If I can't be an encouragement to him, I want to encourage myself in the Lord. Amen. So I want you to take what your pastor preaches, what he teaches, and take your Bible, go home and get into it. I don't believe you got to stand up here and throw the Hebrew and the Greek out there. It's good, and that's some good study time on your own. But if you'll take the King James Version of the Bible, and if you'll read it for what it says, the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate it, and He'll give you something you can chew on for the rest of your life. Amen. Listen to what He says. When I heard, my belly trembled. And then he says, my lips quivered at the voice. How many of you have got that kind of news or had that kind of circumstance or trial in your life that all you could do was your lips would quiver? They'd just shake. You'd want to cry out. You've laid at an altar. You've laid in your bedroom floor. And you didn't have the words to say. But thank God the Holy Spirit of God will utter for you. And He'll cry out to a holy God. When all your lips will do will tremble, tremble and tremble. And He will speak for you. Amen. Habakkuk was there. And notice what he says happens. He says, and then all of a sudden, he says, and I trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. Brother Ceylon, he said, hey. He said, it's done. It's over. It's completely wore out. There's absolutely nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do to affect the situation. There's nothing I can change about the situation. It is like rottenness in my bones. And notice what he says next. He says, and I trembled in myself. Once again, in the first part of this verse, he said he trembled. Brother Allen, he says it again. He says, now I'm going to tremble in myself. But I want you to notice what he says here. Look what he says. He says that I might rest in the day of trouble. He says that I might rest in the day of trouble. Here's a man who's heard from a holy God. Here's a man who's heard from an omniscient God. Here's a man that's heard that God is fixing to a few days before, he was begging God to judge his own people. And when God gives him the answer, says, don't worry, I'm going to judge the nation of Judah, but I'm also going to judge the Babylonians, and I'm going to judge you unless you turn from your wicked ways, talking about the nation of Judah. And all of a sudden, when God answers him, he trembles, he quivers, but he said, in the midst of all that, I want to rest. I just want to rest. I just want to take it easy. I just want to be right in the middle of trial and tribulation. I want to be right in the middle of my circumstances. I want to be right in the middle of my problems, and I want to rest. Amen. That's all I want to do. Notice what else he says. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now notice what, remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that God's a God of order. He does everything decently in an order. Habakkuk's fixing to go through a list of things. And I want you to look here what he does. They all follow a progression. Look at this. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. That word, although, right there, here's what it gives the idea of. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He said, and you know what? The Jews, they eat figs like they're going out of style. I don't even own a fig tree. I love figs, but I don't even have a fig tree. But here Habakkuk said, the fig tree is going to quit producing figs. Look what else it says. Not only will the figs not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. So he says, there's not even going to be any grape juice for us to drink. But they could still drink water. They could still drink milk. But he takes this step further. He says, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. The labor of the olive. Now, they used olive for oil in their lamps. Ladies, let me tell you what else they did. They took olive oil. The women put it on their face so they could go out of the house during the day. That was their makeup. It did things for their complexion. He says right here, he says, the olive shall fail. They would have no more light. They would have no more makeup. Look what he says. Let's keep going. He says, and the field shall yield no meat. Now they're not going to have anything to eat. No grain, nothing to make bread with. No figs, no grapes, no olives, no meat. Go the next step further. He says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now getting to the sheep. Now getting to the bullocks. Now there won't be any sacrifices. Now there won't be anything to eat. Notice what Habakkuk says. Look at the next verse. I want you to notice these first three words. And here's where we're going to be. Yet I Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Lord, I love you tonight. Father, for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you would touch these people in this church tonight. Lord, as that young man prayed tonight, God, I ask you to move me out of the way. Lord, I don't want to say anything you don't want me to say. I don't want to embellish anything. I don't want to add anything in, and I don't want to take anything away from what you've prepared in my heart tonight. And God, I pray tonight we just speak, thus saith the Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, as we look in these next few verses, Lord, as we open up your word, God, you illuminate things to us and you show us things in our life, God, that would help us to determine in our heart, as these girls sang tonight, that we would proclaim it from the mountaintops. As the choir sang tonight, you are enough. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd get the honor and the glory out of all that's said and done in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse number 17. He starts off with this list. And I got to thinking, Brother Allen, about these figs and these olives and these grapes. All of these things really don't affect us. They really don't have anything to do, because we can go to the corner grocery store and you can just about pick anything, or well, you could months ago. You may not be able to now, but you could months ago. And you don't have to worry about these things. But then if you really look at these things, I believe that these things could be a picture of other things in our life. Paul says like this. He says that the Old Testament is made for our example, for our admonition, that we could take things in the Old Testament and we can apply them to our everyday life. And let me just tell you, when it comes to prophecy, Israel is not a picture of the church. The church is not a picture of Israel. Israel in the Bible is Israel. The church is the church in the Bible. But I want you to understand a few things. When he's talking about the figs, when he's talking about those figs, those sweet things, I got to thinking about my own life. There's things in our life that are sweet. There's things in our life that are precious to us. There's things in our life that we have that are not necessarily bad. They're not inherently good. But just what if the sweet things in our life were gone? What if those things that we consider sweet in our life were gone? Would we purpose like Habakkuk did and say, yet I will? What if those sweet things were gone? Even if those sweet things in my life were gone, would I still praise His name? Would I still glorify Him? Would I still rest in Him? Think about it. Look at your own heart. If those conveniences in life were gone, would you still praise Him? Look at the next part of that verse. Although the fig tree shall go, shall not blossom, neither shall fruit of the vines. Those grapes. What if we went to the grocery store? How many of you been to the grocery store lately? How many of you seen the empty shelves? Listen, I'm preaching to everybody here tonight, including myself. What if you don't have meals tomorrow? What if you go to the grocery store and you can't find no milk? What if you go to the grocery store and you just can't find the things that you need to feed and support your family? Yet I will. Are you still going to praise Him? I had to think hard about this as I was studying for this the past few weeks. I don't go without too many meals. I know that's hard to believe. But in all seriousness, would you praise Him? If you woke up in the morning, the supply chain is a disaster right now, and I'm not going to get political at all. You don't want to know my opinion. I would probably make some of you mad with my opinion. We're going to stick with the Word of God. But if you woke up in the morning, you didn't have the food that you needed to support your family, you didn't have the drink that you needed to feed your family, would you still praise Him? Would you still lift your hand and say, God, you are enough? He's proven Himself too many times to me, over and over and over again. God orchestrated the music tonight. Over and over again, He's proven Himself to me. Look what Habakkuk says. He says, not only shall the fruit trees, but he says, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. What if you can't find even a loaf of bread? Bread and water, the basic necessities. Habakkuk says, yet I will. What if they're all gone? Are you still going to praise Him? Are you still going to lift your hand and say, Lord, You are, it was up here a while ago, Jehovah Jireh. You are the one who provides. You are the one who supplants. You are everything that I need. And if He'll feed the birds of the field, He'll feed you. He'll feed me. You say, Jamie, you're getting pretty basic. Absolutely. All the money in the world, all the fancy cars, all of the houses, all of the we need clothes, but all of the nice clothes. But when it comes down to food and water and you can't find it, are you going to praise Him? You say, Jamie, you're preaching doomsday. No, I'm not. If you know anything about this Bible, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. There ain't a Christian in this room, I doubt, unless you've been on a foreign mission field, has suffered persecution in this country. But I'm telling you right now, it's coming. It's coming. There's preachers today being put in jail in Canada, our neighboring country, for standing and preaching the gospel and not bowing to the will of the government. It's coming to this country. And I believe before Jesus comes back, He says these things must come to pass before He comes back. And I believe in the United States of America, you and I are going to face persecution. You and I are going to be at this point Habakkuk was at. And we're going to have a decision to make. We're either going to cower into a corner or we're going to say, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. I'm going to praise You through it all. Look what He says, continues in that verse. He says, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now here's where it gets a little juicy. The flock shall be cut off. What is the believer called in the Bible? A sheep. He says the flock shall be cut off. The flock shall be cut off. Brother Justin, Brother Allen, can you imagine preaching like Noah did for 120 years and not one convert? Not one. Not one convert. Not one person to rededicate their life. Brother Allen, the flock's cut off. Would you still praise Him? Lord, You've called me to preach. Lord, You've called me to pastor a church. I don't care. I'm going to be obedient to You. I'm going to stand on the word of a holy God. I'm going to preach the word of a holy God. If they come, it'll be because You draw them. If they don't come, I'm still going to praise Your name. It's easy for me to stand up here and preach. But when the rubber meets the road, will You still praise His name? Look at the next part of that verse. Not only will the flocks be cut off, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What does the Bible call a preacher? The oxen. Not being critical. What does He say about the oxen treading? What's the scripture? Anybody guess? What does He say about the oxen? Tread, there's no wheat. Somebody quote it. Say it again. Don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. Will your preacher still stand and preach? Or will he fall by the wayside? I'm not saying Brother Justin will. I don't think he will. But what if at Cochran Ridge Baptist Church, and at Calvary Baptist Church, God forbid, Satan grabs a hold of these men of God and they become unfaithful to the Word of God. Will you, as the membership of Calvary Baptist Church, still praise His name? Sort it. Because see, when you study for a message like this, God steps all over your toes. He stomps them and He stomps them because you can't give it until you get it. I had to ask myself these questions. What if all these things happen? Even if these things happen, will I still praise Him? Will I praise His name? Look what Habakkuk says. He says, "For I will rejoice in the Lord." You got to understand, we have to. Even if all of these things happen, you have to praise His person. Understand that He is your strong tower. He's the only one you can run to. You can run to your best friend. You can get godly counsel from your pastor. You can get godly counsel from a deacon. You can get godly counsel from a choir director. You can get godly counsel from a friend. But if you want to run to somebody and get the perfect counsel, you go to Him. And Him alone. He is your comforter. He is your provider. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He is the one who died on a cross just because He loved you enough to die for our sins. Even if all these things happen, praise Him for His person. Not for what He could do for you, but just because who He is. Amen. Next thing we got to understand, you got to trust in His promises. If He tells you, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. He says, if you'll acknowledge Him in all your ways, guess what He'll do, Larry? He'll direct your paths. That's a promise. I fall on those verses. You say, Jamie, those are simple. Those are children's verses. I don't care. They're verses that I've hung my saddle on, that I'll ride to my grave. Because I'll tell you what, you want me to tell you when Jamie makes a problem is when I start leaning into my own understanding. When I start letting this old mind start turn and things start going around in my mind. Well, if I'd have done this, this would have happened. Well, if God would have done this, this would have happened. Listen, God's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. If you put Him in a box, that's your problem and my problem, not His. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, not a wicked man. The effectual, fervent prayer. Brother Alamo spit all over you tonight. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Dads, you young dads in here, if you want your children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you don't do what I did. You don't turn your back on God. You keep facing the cross. You keep facing Jesus. You hit your knees. You pray for your children without ceasing. And I'm telling you right now, He'll direct your paths. Our churches are dying. They're dying because people put everything in front of Jesus. That's right. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. God's going to take those figs. He's going to take those sweet things. He's going to take all those conveniences. He's going to take it away from people. And then they're going to have to run to Him. Right. He's like a lifeguard. Listen, as I stand before you today with this voluptuous figure. I was a lifeguard for many years. I know that's hard to believe. The first thing they teach you is that when somebody's drowning, you get just outside of them. You stand just too far, you swim just as far outside of them, Alan, until they have lost all energy. Because if not, here's what will happen. They will drown you too. Here's what God does. He'll stand right outside. He never backs up. But He waits for you to exhaust all your energy. And you know what He does? He'll say, Justin, are you through yet? Well, no, I got this, God. I got this. I can handle this on my own. Okay. He doesn't back up. He's still right there. And then when you start sinking and you holler, you say, God, I'm done. He reaches out and He grabs a hold and He pulls you up. And then He supports you. He holds you up. He directs your path because you quit trying to do it on your own. And all of a sudden, you're in the arms of a holy God. You're resting. Just like Habakkuk said, Lord, in the middle of this trial and tribulation, I just want to rest in You. I just want to rest in You. God's going to take all those sweet things. He's going to take all of those conveniences in life. He's going to take them all away. I'm telling you, it's coming. Here's what this... I want to be careful here. Here's what this pandemic, and it's a real virus. I'm not even going to get into that. But here's what it's shown. It has revealed who the true church is. I remember a time you could come in this church, any service, that choir loft be full. From that wall to that wall. Same thing at my church. I'm not knocking anybody. We got the same thing going on in my church. I've seen my pastor. Patty and I have drove home many a day. My pastor not said a word. And I've looked at Patty and said, with tears going down my face, I said, my pastor is discouraged. She says, how do you know? I just know. I just know. You see, for months, for 15 months, he preached to an empty sanctuary. And now people are scared to come back for whatever reason. And they can come to church. What if that's gone? What if you don't have that opportunity? Are you still going to praise Him? Are you still going to magnify His name? Those sweet things. Look what Habakkuk says. Look at verse number 19. Not only is he going to praise the person of God, he's going to trust in the promises of God, but he says, I will still proclaim His plan. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet or deer, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And notice this, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Chapter 3 is a song. It's a song. It's a song of praise, Brother Allen. Habakkuk chapter 1 started with gloom. It ends in glory. He's magnifying the name of his Savior. Way before he even knew who the Savior was. He's magnifying His name. What if all these things that we've talked about, what if the U.S. dollar crashes? It's on its way. What if gas goes to $3.20 a gallon? It's on its way. What if gas goes to $5 a gallon? It's on its way. What if There's a real pandemic. It's on its way. What if you can't find anything in the grocery store? It's on its way. What if you lose your job? It's on its way. What if your church is no more? Y'all think the church can survive going the way it's going now? Don't answer that. Just look around. And I'm not talking about Calvary Baptist. I'm talking about the church. I'm telling you right now, the church is in a bad way. Is it the great falling away? I have no idea. All I can answer for is me. Because here's my life verse. Been my life verse for 20, almost 30 years now. Psalms 57:7, and it simply says this: my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise. And then in my Bible, I've got written in large letters and highlighted, no matter what. No matter what. Are you going to praise Him no matter what? Are you going to purpose in your heart like Habakkuk did? And are you going to rest in the middle of trial, in the middle of temptation? James said like this. What does he say about temptation? Flip over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Here's what James said. James, who was a half-brother of Jesus, notice what he says. First thing he doesn't say, James, I'm the brother of Jesus. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says, no matter what you fall into, he says, you count it all joy. All joy. Paul said it like this. He said, in everything, give what? Thanks. I want you to notice this. He doesn't say, in everything, one word. Two words. In everything. Everything. Every single thing under the sun, give thanks. That's easy for me to stand up here and preach. But that's hard living. You get some of the phone calls that I've got in the middle of the night that have completely changed mine and Patty's life around, and think that I wanted to give thanks in the middle of that, you've lost your mind. And I'll go a step further. Because I didn't give thanks in the middle of that, I was disobedient to the Holy God. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. Count it all joy. I'm going to leave you with this. What if all of these things happen? Habakkuk laid them out here. Go back and study them for yourself. And even if all of these things happen, are you still going to praise Him? Let me tell you what joy is. Joy for the child of God is at its best when the circumstances in your life are at its worst. Let me repeat that. Joy in the life of a child of God is at its best. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Joy is at its best when the circumstances in your life are at its worst. You will not find anywhere in this Bible where God promises you prosperity. You won't find anywhere in this Bible that if you'll pray, as a matter of fact, if you want to send me $10, I'll send you a rag and you'll be out $10 and have a rag. But God never says that you're going to be wealthy. He never says that you're going to be healthy. All He says is, hey, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. Matter of fact, Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, if you want to be, and let me tell you what God's goal is. His goal, when he looks at you and me, Alan, he wants to see Jesus Christ. He don't want to see Alan Clayton. He don't want to see Jamie Dickerson. He wants to see Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. That's all he wants to see. And he can't do that if we don't suffer. So you keep believing all the prosperity gospel you want to. But you better listen to that little man, Habakkuk. Those three little chapters. Listen to what he says. I encourage you to go. It'll take you about 35, 40 minutes to read them. I encourage you to study them out. Pay attention to chapter 1. Habakkuk just fires off these questions to God. God answers him. Then he has more questions in chapter 2. And God answers him. And by the time he gets to chapter 3, Habakkuk's saying, hey, whatever you say, I'm just going to rest and I'm going to magnify your name. Amen. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Your joy as a child of God will be at its best when your circumstances are at their worst. Remember that. What if, even if, are you going to praise him? Brother Justin.
When you come along, we'll have a verse of invitation. And appreciate the message tonight, Brother Jamie. Did you enjoy that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We love Habakkuk. We preach Habakkuk. And every time it's fresh and it's new.